Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I'm asking the Lord to do an impartation, not just words, but an impartation tonight. I've been seeing some things. We've been praying a lot out of concern for not just what's going on in the news, but what's going on behind the scenes, spiritually speaking. There is truly a war on, and God has been giving me the scripture that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and that it's important not to be so caught up with what we see. And, you know, their emotions are running high, you know, people are responding, even, you know, really the Christians are responding too. And it's easy to get into the emotional realm, especially with all this stuff. But I feel like the Lord is saying, don't let that distract you from the real issue, which is not what's going on in flesh and blood. It is what is going on in the spirit realm. There are spirits behind this thing, and some of them are kind of, if I could say it, like at a national level. And I woke up this morning and saw a really dreadful spirit. I have seen it before, and it's one of those ones that the minute you see it, you know its properties. There's some that you can look at and see what they do by the way they look, and this was one of those. And what I saw was madness, insanity, murder, and rage. I saw rebellion in this thing, but it was really, really like madness. The word insanity would be tied to this spirit. And a spirit tries to put its traits through people, just like God. It's a counterfeit of what God does. God wants his spirit to flow through his people, which is gracious, goodness, kindness, love. He wants us to flow in that. And just like that, Satan tries to get a hold of people by using their emotions. And he doesn't limit it to non-believers. So be very careful to guard your emotional realm, because your emotional realm can be an inroad or a doorway. And if you're easily incited in your emotions, and even you might even consider it righteous anger, you might consider righteous indignation, but I'm just going to say this, and I'm saying it in kindness, but the only righteous anger or indignation is that which truly comes from the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot done in Christian realms that is labeled righteous anger that is not righteous anger. There are forms of rebellion right now that are going on in Christians. And, you know, I'm just going to be brutally honest. I saw some of it. I was very young in the late 60s, so I was a little kid when a lot of those riots were going on, but they were on our television set, and I saw them, and terrible things were going on. But even then, there was a sense of rebellion, and there was something birthed in that during that decade in the spirit realm. There was something Satan began then that has been like a snowball rolling downhill. And what happens is that the church, a lot of people in the church have been like the frog in the water that's gradually gotten warmer and warmer until we've accepted what we would never have accepted even in the 60s and 70s. We have accepted things now that we would never have accepted then. We've accepted things on the television set that we would never have accepted then, and kept our mouths politely shut. And so I'm just saying, we have to be very careful to discern what's of the Holy Spirit and what's of our flesh. And we have to be, if ever, I've said it before, but I'm actually to a place, God gives me a lot of warnings, and some I can't share because I actually think I would scare some of the baby Christians so badly that it might cause them to stumble, so I can't even share them. But I would say that we've gone from alert to really alert to almost alarm in the spirit. And I keep saying, if ever there was a time that you were going to get diligent about your prayer life, it's right now. And the only thing I can compare it to is when Hitler was coming into power, he used manipulation. He had tactics in there. They've been used throughout history. There's methods. I actually did a little study on this. There's actually methods that are used that are persuasive, that are manipulative, that are trickery, and good people might fall for a very bad thing. And so a lot of people who at one time were good fell into actually working for Hitler and doing his stuff and thinking they were doing right because they had been deceived. And it wasn't, you know, we look back at that and we say, well, they were just bad people, but you know, a whole nation a whole nation. So what happens is sometimes good people can be so persuaded to look at abortion. People are persuaded, people that I know and love who believe that abortion, that, you know, they're not, they are Christians in name, I'll say it that way, but not necessarily Christians that know the Word of God, I'll say that. But they actually believe that abortion is to give a woman her reproductive rights. And I remember when I was probably 20 and didn't know any better, I might have foolishly thought that, but when you read the Word of God, you come into the knowledge of God, you come to understand that as a human and the devastation that happens is not only murder to a person, it is devastation to the mom. And I won't even get into that, but what I will say is, again, it's like the frog in water. We grew to, you know, it was unpopular, so we were polite, and in the name of kindness, we didn't say too much. And then we got to the point where we had duct tape over our mouths. And so what I'm just saying is that we have to discern in this day, and we have to be praying a lot to discern what is really going on in the spirit realm and how to deal with it. We have the winning hand. But God was speaking to me throughout this week, and he's been telling me since the beginning of coronavirus. Let me back up to about January. And January, and maybe even before, he had me giving words that there's some things to come that are tougher than people were ready for, that people needed to toughen up and grow strong and more mature in their Christianity. But then and I didn't know what it would look like. He didn't reveal specifics, but I just knew we needed to grow up and fast. And then when coronavirus hit and there was all this hoo-ha, God told me early on, there's another shoe that will drop. And then he later said a shoe and half a shoe. And believe it or not, I don't think all the rioting is that shoe. I actually think there's yet another shoe to drop, and the rioting just happened on the way of that. So we have to grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Now, we hold the winning hand, absolutely. But what the Lord told me, as I began to pray into this other shoe, because I know that many, many people, he said in the last day, there would be a great falling away. Many will fall away from the faith. It says the love of many will grow cold. You know why? Because of lawlessness. Lawlessness is a spirit, but it has the ability to capture the hearts of humans through their emotional realm. And how it sounds is, you've been done wrong. You know, and I'm not just talking about what happened to George Floyd. What happened to George Floyd was murder. It was absolutely wrong. I can't say it strongly enough, so by no means am I saying that wasn't wrong. But what I am saying is, for all of us, even as believers, we have to be very careful of enticement from the enemy that would say to us in any arena of any kind, you deserve better. You should have been treated better. Well, the truth is, we all deserve hell. I deserve hell. No, it's the truth. And Jesus saved us by his grace. And so we have to be very careful of the spirit that says, I deserve better, because that can either lead us to entitlement, which leads to, frankly, whiny babies who think they deserve to be taken care of, or rebels and rabble-rousers who say, I'm going to stand up for my rights. By golly, you're not doing that to me. And again, I'm not even talking about race. I'm talking about Christians of every color. I'm just talking about we live by a different system, okay? So I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about, but if you talk about entitlement, if you've ever seen a truly spoiled child, a kid that's always been pandered to, and the reason is, do you ever see a family where the parent wants to be the child's buddy and best friend and will never discipline? Well, our Father's not like that, is he? Because he loves us, he disciplines us. I thank God for the times he has kind of spanked me, corrected me, and said, Holly, you're wrong. You need to deal with this. Because, see, if he didn't love us enough to correct us, we would just be so far off. Well, a kid that is treated as the king of the house often grows up believing that the entire world owes them a career, owes them a job, owes them big money. And when they don't get it, their world kind of falls apart and they become either angry, whiny, or addicted. And I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't think we have time. You know, I used to be so polite when I would preach, but I just don't think we have time anymore. So I love you, but you're strong enough to handle it. And so that's what entitlement does. And often we look at other people and say they're entitled, but we have to watch our heart too, because we have to make sure we don't feel like the world owes us, the government owes us. That's what that leads to is an ungodly framework. God has a system that is so far removed from the way the world does things, and God is desiring for us to win these battles. And I have a confession that I make, a proclamation that I make, that I win every battle, every skirmish, and every war. And I proclaim that in faith, believing that God will always teach me how to win. And a skirmish is what? It's just a miniature little battle, right? A battle is a bigger thing that you may have to contend for some days. But a war is the big picture made up of many battles and many skirmishes. And to win that, we have to continue. What does the Bible say? Instant, in season, and out of season. Being always ready, always prepared, always tuned in to, wait a minute, what's happening now? And so one of the ways to do that is simply to ask God to keep you posted. You know, we look, sometimes people might look to their television for news, and that's not necessarily wrong. Some people look to social media for news, and that can be really confusing. Don't get me started on how confusing that can be. But there's another broadcast that goes on from heaven. But we have to be asking. Like, God wouldn't talk to me the way he does if I wasn't saying, you know, what is that about? Tell me what just happened there. What's the spirit going on behind that? How do I pray? You know, I get these, like, let's say, warning dreams. So some of you have heard me say it. Last summer I had a warning dream, and it was very alarming that the Freedom Restaurant, I saw this beautiful wooden like antique colonial restaurant. It looked like 1776 with colonial flags. And I saw that it was being shut down. I saw the Freedom Restaurant was closed. And I knew God was saying, you guys are in danger of losing your freedom. And so we started back then really praying and praying and praying. And as you pray into that, God will reveal bits and pieces more. But as you ask, as you seek, as you knock, don't just expect the prophetic to come knocking at your door. You hear and you see. When you start asking honest questions, why is that happening? How can I best pray for that situation? Because there's some really terrible things happening. I'll just share one thing with you, though. This is just kind of an aside that I find to be very concerning. They have the ability, anybody literally has the ability to deceive on social media. And what I'm bothered by is that I see it happening from every side of the spectrum, from far, far left to far, far right. And it's deception where it's almost a scam, but it's very persuasive. And there's a couple of ways. I just saw one, I think it was yesterday morning. Someone sent me a thing, and it had the face, a picture of a celebrity, and this long thing that he was supposed to have written supporting a certain candidate. Now, the reason I knew that was fake is I had just watched that man talk about that candidate, and I knew that it was an absolute falsehood. But if I hadn't seen him talk about it, I would have been, oh, that guy's for so-and-so. I would have believed it. And this person sent it to me and said, post this on your page. Well, of course I couldn't, first of all, because I knew it was fake, and I wouldn't do that anyway. The next thing is that there's actual software out there where you could take a person's talking video and you can put words over it so closely that it looks like they are speaking it. So there's actually, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of TED Talks, they're all over the world. You can go online and look at them, but they're intellectual subjects of every kind. And the man who wrote this software actually did a TED Talk. You can actually go look it up. He wrote the software where they actually take pictures of a person, and the way he started it was he had four pictures of President Obama, four completely different videos showing at once with a speech going on, and he said, which one of those four is that speech? And you would look and look, and you really couldn't tell because it was so close. And he said, the answer is none of them. None of those four is what the audio is saying. So they do that to leaders, they do it to politicians, and you believe it, and you don't, I'm just telling you, it's not just certain news channels that are fake news. A lot of what you are seeing on social media, second guess it, question it, research it before you just pass it on, okay? Before you just believe it or vote that way, check it out. I'm just telling you, this is as common as it can be. I don't know why God's having me tell you this, but there it is. So God wants us, I feel like he wants us to turn the tables, tip it over. I won't tell you the vision that I had today, but I will tell you it was another alarm about losing our freedom. And I won't tell you because I really don't want to scare some of the younger believers. But what I do want to do is motivate us to begin to develop a prayer life. If you're not a person, you say, oh, I just don't like to pray in the Spirit a lot. I just, you know, it's just so boring, or I'm not good at that. That's okay. Just take 5 minutes a day and start with 5 or 10 or 15. Because the more you do it, it's just like anything else. The more you do it, the easier it gets. You'll get to where an hour in the Spirit feels like 5 minutes. When you first start, 5 minutes might feel like an hour. That's okay. God totally gets it. Just start small, but do something. Start doing something. And the reason I say that is, what if Paul Revere had run through the streets sounding the alarm and people went, oh, you know, I just don't feel like it tonight. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of watching this show right now. I just don't feel like, I just don't feel like coming to arms right now. What would have happened? We would have lost the war, right? But what would have happened? Listen, World War II, there was a man that spent World War II on his knees, and God would literally show him battles, and he would turn, he would pray in groups of people, and he would tell people it, and they would, they would write down, they would keep a journal on times of days, and they didn't have any way to know what battles were going on or what was going on in those battles, but there's all kinds of recorded history on battles completely turning the other way as this group of prayer warriors would hunker down and just pray it through. And he would be more the prophetic one. He would say, this is what I'm seeing. We've got to pray about this. And they would specifically tune into that, and they would watch the battle turn the other way, and lives were saved. It was a big deal. It turned the war the other way. And what I'm saying is, the ball is in our court. We have the authority. We have the ability. The Holy Spirit will do it through us. We don't even have to be smart. We don't have to know a lot. We just have to be faithful to do it. But again, if ever there was a time to do it, now is that time. God is releasing some of you. I've talked about this before. I'm just going with the flow tonight. I didn't prepare a teaching. I'm just going with prophetic. What is God saying? What is God saying? Okay. I believe I said this before, but I'm seeing again God releasing some of you out into a much more bold form of speaking. Some of you are going to stand forth and speak. I'm seeing courageous acts. I'm seeing boldness come. And I'm reminded of in the book of Acts, when, you know, after Peter and John were used to heal the man at the Gate Beautiful, and, you know, they were reprimanded and told not to do it anymore and beat up, you know, they got whooped up on, and they went back and they said, you know, pray that God will open our mouths in even greater boldness. You know, they weren't motivated to shut up because they got beat up a little. They were motivated to shout all the louder because they had something to say. And I don't know, I'm sensing that I'm talking to different people, having different messages and different types of callings, but I'm seeing this unction right, even right now. I'm seeing someone, I saw God just put something in your belly that looks like a whirling ball of, you know, of a prophetic word. And I'll tell you, when that happens, if you've never done that before, and if it's your first time, when you first receive that unction, you'll be like, what do I do with this? So I'm going to tell you what to do with it. You just keep praying and wait, and don't just run out and tell the first person, because it'll probably come out wrong and that might not be the right person. But pray on it and pray for perfect timing, because a word in due season is what you want, a word in due season, in the very moment. You don't just want to deliver accurately. You want to deliver the entire framework. So to me, and I never hear anybody else talk about this, so I'm just going to talk about it. When you deliver a word from heaven, the ideal way is if you could capture God's heart, the look on his face, the empathy in his voice. So if he is upset, you deliver, and you don't think to do it. It's just the way you do it. You get to where you're doing it under the unction of the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the worst things you can do is deliver a word out of timing because, you know, if you've ever been in a place where they said, well, you can't deliver that word here, but you've got this thing and you're sitting on it. And so you try to sort of talk about it later and it comes out kind of bleh because the unction has now passed by because the time is no longer. Some words will stay and you can deliver them again and again because it's a truth. But some words have a timing in a certain audience, a certain specific designated group of people that are supposed to hear it. And when the moment is gone, it's just never quite the same after that. So you want the timing of God, but you also want the heart of God. I've had words where I had to deliver. I was weeping. I looked like a fool. I was sobbing because I was giving this word, but that was the heart of the Holy Spirit as he was delivering it. I've had words that were not easy to give. I stood before a man, I'll never forget, it was the first time I met this man, and he was a big guy and a wonderful man of God, missionary. And I had to say, you know, when you're a prophet, you have to say exactly what God says. You don't get to pick, and you don't get to change it and tweak it and make it nicer. And I said, you have a big calling, but you also have a big flesh. And he burst out laughing and said, that's true. That's totally true. See, because in my mind, I thought, oh boy, I hope this doesn't make him mad. But God knew his heart. God knew he knew good and well and knew he needed to deal with it already. God was just confirming to him, you need to deal with your flesh because you got a real big calling. Don't blow this, okay? I'm talking to somebody right now. You've come out of you've been down a long, hard road. But I'm really proud of you because you've stuck with it. And I'm actually seeing you come out of the woods. You have almost given up so many times. But I see that God has continually given you like an injection of strength, a word when you need it, a hope when you need it. And what I'm seeing is great strength coming upon you. And the very thing that you came out of, the very mess that Satan had you bound in, it wrecked your life, by the way, wrecked your whole life. And you look back and you saw nothing but devastation and thought, can anything good ever come from this? And God says to you, I'm going to turn this into a strong and powerful calling. And you're going to go to the very kind of people who are bound like you were bound. And by the way, you're going to have the ability to free those that others can't help. Because you understand, you get it, you were there, you lived it, and you have a word in due season. And you're going to go with boldness, but you're also going to have, I see this great compassion. It's boldness and strength, like only Jesus can do this. I've seen Jesus used Edgar to do this. Great power, and yet compassion and softness and tenderness. And only the Holy Ghost can do that. We could never imitate it in our flesh, but I watched it. I've seen it many times. It's amazing to watch. When I'm talking to you, I would say your name, but I won't embarrass you. But I'll just tell you, God is getting ready to do that with you. So don't you lose heart. You just keep pressing into God because you're going to go to the lost. You're going to go to the infirm. You're going to go to the weak and the sick and the addicted, the people that are so messed up that they can't even think straight. People, you ever met somebody who's so strung out, so messed up that when you try to talk to them, they can't even make sense of what you say. They respond with some bizarre, you think, man, they're just nuts. But no, what's happened is their mind has been altered, right? Because some addictive substances are mind altering and they need a physical healing. They need an emotional healing. They need a mental healing. Guess what? It's easy for God. And this person I'm talking to, because of what you lived through, you have the keys. I saw you with a ring of keys. You had keys to each type of healing, you know, because it's multiple healings that those types of people need. And you've got it because you walked through it. You know, sometimes walking through something the long, hard way and winning it step by step is actually better because then you know, you understand what other people do not understand. That's a better way. When you win, I knew a lady who defeated cancer by the word alone. You know, she didn't have somebody with a gift come and just poof, lay hands on her. Instantly she was healed. She gutted it out with the word of God. And she spoke the scriptures and she was literally on her deathbed. She was down to under 90 pounds, and she's about 5'10", so she was just a bone rack. She had already started the death process, which means she smelled bad. She was jaundiced. She was dying, they say, hours from death. But she said, "I will not die but live and declare the words of the Lord." Well, she kept speaking. She talked herself into healing. She would not die. She refused to die. She planted her feet, said, "I'm not going. I have three children. My children need me. I'm a pastor's wife. I'm sticking around. I'm not going home. I will live and not die." She just kept saying it. And at first she couldn't move. She couldn't get off the bed. She would just lay there and just as much as she could whisper it out. But she grew stronger, and she got to where she could sit on the edge of the bed. Then she got to where she could walk just a little, and she got stronger. She is 100% healed. But here's what I want to tell you. Because she didn't just have, poof, I'm healed from a gift that someone laid hands on her, okay? She wasn't healed by someone else's faith or someone else's gift. And because of that, I watched when a lady with lung cancer came to one of our meetings, and this lady who had walked down that road and gutted it out, she knew her authority over the spirit of cancer. You understand the difference? She knew it. And not just in her head, she knew it experientially. That's a big difference. You know, the Greek has two different words for knowing something. You can know something intellectually, but there's this Greek word, gnosko. It's like, you know so. You've lived it. That's a whole different thing. When you've lived a scripture, when a scripture has been with you in the battle, and there's certain scriptures that have saved my life. There are certain scriptures that have become my best friend. I'm close friends with certain scriptures. They become mine, so to speak. They live on the inside of me, and I know their power. You understand? Up here, I know that all scriptures have life-giving power, have resurrection power. I know that in my head. But there's some scriptures that I know experientially save life. You know, they heal the sick, they raise the dead. I know it experientially what it does. When you know that, this is what I saw. This lady came to our meeting. She had lung cancer, and this lady turned. She literally just whirled, and she pointed at this lady's chest where the lung cancer was, and she took authority like somebody who knew her way around the spirit realm. And that woman got healed, and I watched it. She got healed, healed, healed. And I think God allowed me to watch that discourse because he wanted me to see. Don't ever feel bad. Why do I have to walk through this? Listen, you're going to win if you won't quit. But sometimes the long battle of enduring is much more important than a quick win. We want the easy way because we just want to be out of pain. We want the thing fixed. We want it done. But I'm going to tell you something. There are some things that once you walk through them, you will never forget. That victory, it becomes part of who you are, becomes part of your bone structure. Nobody can take it from you. No devil can ever scare you on that. No devil can ever get you on it. Once you won that, you're never going back, and nobody can make you. And so if you're feeling like you're in the dregs of it, don't worry. There's a reason that God has us sometimes walk the long way through the woods, right? He wants us to understand how to win every skirmish, every battle, and every war. And now we're in a war, and it's not just for us personally. Most Christians, to be honest, pray most of the time when they have a personal issue. But now we're at a place where this is a much bigger issue. But it could affect all of us in a pretty strong way. I never did finish saying what I meant to say. When God was talking to me, I was praying about this other shoe that he said that there's another shoe to drop and then a half a shoe, meaning there will be some more tough news. And I don't think we've seen it yet. In fact, I'm sure we have not. And I said, well, tell me what to do. Tell me how to pray and how bad it's going to be. And he told me some framework of it that I'm not allowed to share just yet. But he said, depending on how people respond, it could be 60% or 100% loss. Depending how people respond. I'm going to tell you something. People think God judges. I'm just gonna lay it out, and you may not agree with me, but I'm right. People think that God gets mad and judges sinners for sinning. God knows that sinners sin, but I'm gonna tell you, it says that judgment starts in the house of God. And if there is judgment, it's because we as people need to deal with our stuff. You know, we blame, we point at the sinners and say, oh, that's just terrible what they're doing. Look at them. And we get into the whole judging them thing. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of the troubles that we have, God isn't actually sending his judgment. But what happens is we open a door to some devils by our behavior. Okay. And the church has waffled for way too long. You know, the Lord spoke to me. I can't remember if it was yesterday or today, and he said, I'm so tired of being last in people's lives. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, which means I know he's not last in your life, or you wouldn't be tuned in. I know you love Jesus, and most of you love Jesus more than anything. But he said, I'm so tired of being last with people. You know, they're so busy about their life and their stuff and their business, and at the very end of the day, I get this little piece. He said, I'm kind of tired of it, you know. And he wasn't mad and he wasn't judging, but I could tell it, you know how you would feel if you were married to someone and you knew you weren't even on their list of important things, you know, not even somewhere on the list. Well, that was the tone of his voice. That was the idea of it. And so we have to pray for the church as well, that we will get rid of the idolatry. And idolatry is anything that's more important than Jesus. And that can include politics. That can include, can include anything, fun stuff, anything that's more important. Here's how you know an idol. Here's one of the ways you might know an idol in your heart, okay? Oh, if I just had that, then I'd be happy. If I just could have this outcome, that would be it. Be very careful. Oh, if I would just be used in my calling, be very careful, because that has the ring of being an idol. When you don't have an idol, here's how you say, that'd be nice, but you know what, Jesus, if that doesn't work out, I don't really care, because I got you. If I got you, I'm happy. I don't really, hallelujah. I'd like to do this or that, but if it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter. It'd be nice if I have a house, but if I don't have a house, as long as I'm with you, I'm okay. I know you'll take care of me. When you can keep your heart in that framework, I'm just going to say it, heaven is yours. Because as a man sows, so will he also reap. And the measure you use is measured back to you. So what do you think heaven does when you seek first the kingdom of God? Really first. When you care about him before you care about you. Do you ever help somebody just because they're a Christian? Not because you like them, not because you feel like it, not because your flesh wants to, but just because they are a believer. And to do it to them, he said, if you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me, right? Did you ever do something like that? There's something that God has me do sometimes. And I'll be honest, my flesh doesn't always feel like it, but it helps his people. But my flesh doesn't always feel like it. And I was talking to him the other day, and we were kind of having a real, real close, tender moment. And I said, is there anything I can do? Sometimes I see Jesus. You might not know this. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. And he is the risen king. But he does carry burdens. And I won't go into the details of it. But there are things that he does carry. You know that Paul said he wanted to make up what was lacking in Christ's afflictions? You know that you can carry a load for Jesus Christ? Did you know that? You can't do it in the flesh. But I was saying to Jesus, is there anything that I could do to take that burden? And he said, you've already taken some. And I said, how have I taken anything? He said, when you help those people that you didn't feel like helping. Sometimes when you help a brother or sister, and it may be somebody that's a pain, somebody that's high maintenance, somebody that just won't stop talking, or it's all kinds of people in the body. We have to love them, but sometimes we don't always, the work is not always easy. But let me say this. When you do it out of a heart for Jesus Christ, you're actually doing it to Jesus. When you pay somebody's bill because they can't pay it, or you see an older person at the store and they're struggling to reach the top shelf or just whatever, when you help them, you just help Jesus. And in his mind, imagine if you had a little child. I'll just tell you a story that Rick Joyner told. It was after Jim Baker, some of you might remember these days back when there was a big mess with Jimmy Baker's ministry, and Jim Baker was highly persecuted. At that time, probably one of the most mocked and hated men on the earth. I mean, the body of Christ came against him and the unbelievers came against him. And God was speaking to Rick to, and Rick didn't even really know him. God was speaking to Rick Joyner to restore Jim Baker. And he knew it wouldn't make him popular, but he said, you know, if it's what God wants. Well, Rick went to sleep and had a dream. And in the dream, his son, Rick's own son, in the dream, was drowning, and Rick was far up on a hill, and he could see it far away, but it was too far, and he couldn't get to him. But there were people standing nearby, and his son was drowning, and he was trying to call to them, "Won't you save my son? Won't you help my son?" And Rick woke up, and he knew God was saying, "Won't you help my son? Are you going to look at what people think, or whether people like him or not? Are you going to help? This guy's drowning here." You see, when we help somebody, you're helping Jesus, and it's a big deal in heaven. It's a big, big deal in heaven. I didn't mean to go there, but I just felt like God wanted to say that. We need to think differently about who we are. We need to think differently about the kingdom and about God's people. We can't just help people we like. We can't just help people who agree with us. There's some ministries that I support that I don't necessarily agree with all their doctrine, but they're doing a good work, and I know they're God's own. Okay? And if God leads me to do it, I'm going to help them. Because you know what? I'm helping Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to go too long. I feel like that's enough for today. I just love you. And I pray that God give you, I actually saw God giving some of you an actual unction of strength and boldness. And some of you will actually feel a difference when you'll feel the anointing when you talk to people. You'll feel the anointing when you talk to your family. You'll feel the anointing when you witness. God is stepping it up, okay, in the spirit. He's stepping things up, and all we have to do is stay in step with him. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com. We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.